Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I began to meditate upon that. I began to seek that. Now, faith here is not the same faith as you see in Galatians chapter 5. It's not fruit of the Spirit. It's not that faith. That faith there is a character. It's a character of divine nature that you received when you were born of the Spirit. When Jesus came into your heart by the power of the Spirit, stripped out of you that sin nature, placed within you the divine nature of God. He placed within you the fruit of the Spirit shall bear witness that you have truly been born of the Spirit. But what we see there is the word faith near the end of the list. Verse 22 and 23 of Galatians 5, but that word faith there means faithfulness. Faithfulness, that's not the faith I'm talking about. This is a general faith, and I began to question God. Why? I have sought this year after year after year since I've been born of the Spirit and got into the truth of God's Word. I began to seek, why is this faith unique? It doesn't come into the divine nature of God. Why does it seem to be separate? Why does it seem that we all receive the same measure of faith? I began to meditate upon that. Then it began to dawn to me that Isaiah goes on and asks the question there in verse 16, who shall believe our report? I looked that up in the Greek. It says, who shall hear the preaching or the message of faith? So this faith first is preached to saved people and non-saved people. There's no partiality with God, no respect of persons. When faith is beginning to preach, in other words, when the gospel of Christ is beginning to be proclaimed by faith, it goes out to whoever the hearers are. They could be saved or non-saved. But notice this, it goes on in the Greek, and it doesn't say the word of God. It says the word or the horema of Christou. What that means is the spoken word of God's power through Christ. In Romans 1:16, it says, we preach the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto the Jew first, and the Greek, and so forth and so on. It's the power of God to save, the power of God to deliver, the power of God to set us free. But that Christ means nothing to us unless it becomes a part of our spirit. I shared with you out of Galatians chapter 2 that it's Christ in us that we live by the faith of the Son God. No longer do I live by my flesh, but I live by Christ that dwells in me. In Colossians 1, 26 and 27, it talks about Christ who dwells in me, the mystery of God. It's a mystery that Christ lives in me. How do I come into that Christ? By the preaching and hearing and the hearing and the hearing of that message. When I instantly hear that message, it can cause faith to come. The word is the only instrument. It's the only way that God has designed for faith to come. There's no other way that faith can come. You cannot pray for faith. You cannot fast for faith. You cannot moan for faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so in Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 8 there, well, what saith thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shalt believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 12, verse 3, says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. So when we begin to hear the word preached, saved or non-saved, there becomes a faith that begins to happen within our spirit and in our mouth. When that faith begins to be ignited by the preaching and teaching of the word of God, it begins to get into our mouth. We begin to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he'll forgive me of every sin that I have ever done. Every individual that has ever come into the body of Christ that has been baptized into it by the Spirit has come through this message of being born of the Spirit according to John 3, 3 through 8. You had to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and as soon as you did, you received the same measure of faith that every other individual that's ever been born of the Spirit received faith. So how did we receive the same measure of faith? By the same message we all got saved on, through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now, the second thing I want you to see here is that it's the power of Christ in us. And I want to show you that Christ can begin to speak to us. And when I begin to examine the Word of God, let me change that. As I began to examine the Word of God, I have noticed that Jesus Christ himself does not say much when it comes to faith. It says over in Romans 8, verse 14 through 16, those that are born of the Spirit are led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in our spirit to witness to us through that Christ that's in us. So faith, in other words, is spoken to us through that Christ that's in us. But if we don't add faith to what Christ speaks to us through the teaching and preaching of the Word, it will do us no good. Nothing will happen. A lot of people can randomly quote the Word of God. They can give you verse and chapter and tell you what the Word of God says, but they absolutely have no faith in their life. Their life is a mess. Nothing happening in their life. God's not involved. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Everybody in that same room heard the same gospel preached, but some that began to believe in their heart and then began to confess with their mouth that God raised them from the dead, those became saved. But others did not mix faith with what they heard, and it did them no good. And I want to show you that this morning. It goes on and it says this. Unto them the gospel was preached as well as unto us, but the word preached did not benefit them. Just because you know the word, just because you can quote it chapter and verse and out quote us randomly, doesn't mean you have any faith. It doesn't mean that God's working for you. And I want to show you that. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If we don't mix what we hear, because faith comes by hearing and hearing word by the Word of God, if we do not mix faith with what we have heard, it means nothing to us. Now, how does Jesus speak to us today? I already showed you by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Christ that's in us will begin to lead us and witness to us out of our spirit. And I want to show you that Jesus is not a man of many words. Sometimes we probably have heard God speak to us, but because we did not understand who Christ is in us, we just kind of brushed it off because we're waiting for a two-paragraph report from Jesus on everything we got to do. He got to tell us from the beginning to the end to the middle. He needs to tell us the introduction. He needs to give us the body of what he wants us to do and give us the conclusion. But I want you to see how little Jesus spoke to these people that had faith and how he spoke to some but did not mix faith and what happened. Let's take the negative first. That way, if we run out of time, I can hit the positive next week. In Matthew chapter 14, we know the story. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And in John, it says that they wanted to make him king. Not because he was the Son of God, but because he could supply their needs. Kind of sounds like the message of prosperity sometimes. We don't seek God for who he is. We seek for what he can do for us and how rich he can make us. And so he escaped, if you remember the story. So he sends the disciples ahead of him. And look what in the fourth hour, this is Matthew 14. And we know that during this ship, well, let's just go up to 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth hour of the watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the sea. When disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, this is all Christ said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Well, what a conversalist, can't get the word out. What a talker he is, amen? I want you to see that Jesus is a man of few words, because words, it says in Proverbs, can get us into sin. And the multitudes of words is sin. If you're a person that talks a lot, you probably have to ask God to forgive you a lot. Because out of your mouth comes things that shouldn't come. Because once you get out of the Spirit, once you get off the Word, usually on your flesh or your reasoning. It's out of faith. I know some of these things hurt, but we're growing in faith. And Peter answered and said, now listen to this. Peter answers. Jesus is walking on the water. And I want you to see how that Christ in on the earth witnessed to Peter to come. Now, we're asking God to talk to us in situations, and I want you to see by the Word of God how many words Jesus speaks in these situations. Here they are. They're in this boat. The winds are contrary to them. In other words, if you look it up, they're rowing and rowing and rowing, and they're staying in the same spot. Could you imagine how tired you get? It's like someone that's going to drown in water. They keep swimming and swimming and swimming and going under and under, and they're not getting anywhere. And Jesus is up there watching them. So he comes cruising across the water by the power of God. Now they see this, and they're a little frightened. So would you. Come on now. Come on now. Could you imagine a ghost or a spirit or an angel appearing to you tonight? I'd be quaking a little bit. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me come unto the water. And he said, here it goes. Come. That's it. Come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the horema of Christu. Are you getting it? Faith is built on the word spoken by Christ. So Peter's asking Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if he can walk upon the water, the rock of the revelation of the knowledge of truth, and Jesus says, come. He spoke by the power of the Spirit of God. He spoke by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, come. And you will find that sometimes he directs his words to an individual or to a spirit, but sometimes he doesn't. I haven't got this worked out all the way, but what I'm noticing is when he doesn't direct it to an individual spirit, it usually means it could be anybody in that boat could get out of that boat and walk on the water. There's no respecters of persons with God. Do not have your faith, James says, with the respecters of persons, because God is not a respecter of persons. He'll let each of us be born of the Spirit, each of us to receive infillments of the Spirit. So he says to them, come. Wonder how many times God's spoken to our spirit, but we're waiting for a couple paragraphs. We're waiting for the introduction, the body, and the conclusion. But he's already spoken to you. Maybe it's go. Maybe it's come. Maybe it's pray. And that's it. Immediately, Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But uh-oh, he saw the wind, boisterous. He was afraid, fear. The opposite of faith is fear. And he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith! Wherefore did thou doubt? Why did you waver? What caused you to waver from the word of God that I spoke to your spirit? I said, come, and that's what I meant, come. I'm not changing. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I think God spoke to every person in this room. But I think we're expecting to hear what we wanted to hear, not what God wanted to tell us. And soon as Peter gets to coming, and this is what I believe, the boat was 10 feet away from Jesus. He comes cruising across the 10 feet, and now he smacked up to Jesus, nose to nose. What? Now what do I do? He didn't ask. And while he's sitting there waiting for God to tell him something, no, it says, ask and I shall give unto you. He starts to wait, and as he waits, he begins to notice the strong winds and the waves and the circumstance that he's in. He gets his eyes off of what Jesus said, come, begins to see his circumstances, begins to feel them, begins to sense them, and he begins to sink. Because look how close Jesus is to him. He stretched out his hand and caught him. My hand's only this big, my arm. So he had to be in that close to Jesus. They said he was around 5'11", 180 pounds. I don't know how they figured that, by the cocoon or whatever, by the average man in that time. I don't know if all that's true or not. And so he stretched out his hand, he caught him, and he said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? How did thou waver? How did thou waver? Chapter 16. Let's see how else he talks. In Matthew 16, verse 5, when Jesus' disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, says, is it because we have taken no bread? Now he said, take bread. And they reasoned among themselves because we have taken no bread. And Jesus perceived and said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? In 14, it said that Peter saw the five senses, the flesh. Here he talks to their minds, the reasoning. The voice of the soul is reasoning. He talks to their mind and says, what are you guys even talking about? I wonder how many times we heard from God, but then we go and ask a pastor or someone we think is spiritual, or we ask our mate, we ask our children, we ask those that pray, and they begin to tell us something totally different than what God meant to say in the little words that he has shared with us in our spirit. And we begin to reason what God said to us because maybe we don't want to do it, or maybe we do not want to even try at it. But we begin to reason it away. And I want you to notice here how far off their reasoning is from what even Jesus is talking about. I wonder sometimes when somebody says to you the miracles have ceased, or God doesn't heal no more, or we hear these sermons from Pharisees and Sadducees today. They're so full of religion and traditional things. They tell us a lot of things that are contrary to the word of God. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Not by what the Pharisees say, not what the Sadducees say, not what tradition says, not what the flesh says, not what religion says. But faith comes by what Jesus says, by the power of Christ that's in us and dwells in us. And sometimes we reason that away with our minds. Let's see what he says here. Do you not understand, neither remember the five loaves that I fed 5,000, how many baskets you took up? He takes them right out of reasoning and brings them right back into faith. If God wants us to walk in faith, then Jesus would walk in faith. Notice every time that he comes against doubt and unbelief and reasoning and the senses, he pulls them right back into faith. If it was that important for Jesus and his lifetime on earth to keep us in faith, then we as people need to hear and hear and hear and hear the word of God. Neither the seven loaves or the 4,000, how many baskets did you take up? How is it that you did not understand that I spake not of you concerning bread, natural bread? I'm not even talking about bread. I'm not even talking about what you eat. That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know what that leaven means in the Greek? Negative atmosphere. I wonder how many people get a word from the Lord, but they get around the church, or they get around religion, they get around some pastors, they get around some churches, and they take the positive of faith out of them and put the negative of tradition into them, or negative of religion into them. They begin to reason it. Maybe God doesn't heal today. Maybe God doesn't save today. Maybe Jesus really wasn't born of a virgin today. I wonder if there's really a God. We begin to reason all these things. And he said, stay away from people that are negative. Stay away from people that give you negative thoughts and get over into the positive of faith. Hearing and hearing and hearing the word of Christ that dwells in you will bring forth faith. No other way. Mark chapter 4, one more negative. And we'll maybe break into the positive and maybe open up there next week. In Mark 4, Here Jesus has been teaching all day at the seaside. Great multitudes of people came. He's teaching on the sower, the seed here. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you'll understand no other parable. If you don't understand this truth, you won't understand any other truth. So he's going to give them the word again. He's going to give them God's divine will again. Are you ready? Verse 35 of the same day that he was teaching, about how Satan comes immediately to steal the seed, to take away the word of God. Satan comes the same day. Satan immediately comes. It says over there in 4:15 of these by the wayside, when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately to take away the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Come. And they began to see the winds. Take bread. And they began to reason completely different than what Jesus was talking about. Here Jesus says on the same day, when the evening comes, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. That's it. That's all Jesus said. By the power of words, Christ just spoke to them. Faith comes by hearing and hearing what Christ speaks. And so he tells them, let's go to the other side. So they get in the boat and they start to go in the divine will of God. And when they had sent away the multitude, and they took him even as he was in a ship, there were little ships with them, there arose a great storm of wind. Didn't he say when the word is preached, Satan comes immediately to take it away? No difference for Jesus than us. The disciple is not above his master. And the waves beat into the ship, and so it was now full. Now he's in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now I want you to notice, there's 13 guys in this boat. One of them is walking in faith, and 12 are walking by what they see and what they reason. A lot of times you will find in faith, you are the minority, not the majority. Only four, down to two, out of 6 million went into the promised land. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb. Two men walked in faith. Here, there's 12 men in a boat, 13 plus Jesus. Jesus is in faith because he knows that if God told him he's going to the other side, he's going to the other side. If he has to swim over there, wiggle over there, walk over there, somehow float over there, he's going to the other side. He heard from God. I wonder how many times we heard something in our spirit by the Spirit of God, but the first little storm that blows in, oh, that's it. Huh? First little storm that blows into our life. Look what the boys do. He's in the same ship, the same circumstances, and he's back there snoring on a pillow. And he's riding the waves. He's just riding it through. When you've done all, stand, Ephesians says. Here are the boys. They begin to see the winds. The water's filling up the boat. They're beginning to float. They're beginning to sink. And they begin to pull out their hair. Run around with chickens with their head cut off. Saying, what are we going to do? 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 Then the next question was, who's going to wake them up? Because every time we ask them something in these situations, we get rebuked with little or no faith. So Peter, probably the one, went down, kicked to bed, and said, Jesus, don't you care about us anymore? Don't you care about us anymore, Lord? We're going down. I'm amazed on Sunday people going, whoa, they received the word and they're running around the church glorifying God. And by Wednesday, they look like their mother-in-law's moving in. No, I'm just kidding, brother. Huh? Take that back, Doris. I love you. Huh? Come on. Storm blows in to take away the word. But we take it personal. Jesus comes. There's a great storm of wind and the waves are beating in a ship. And he's asleep on a pillow, and they wake him up and say, Lord, Master, you don't care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're sick, Lord? Don't you care we're poverty-stricken? Don't you care I have no opportunities to preach? Don't you care I'm barely making it, getting along street here, Lord? Yeah, he does. He's waiting for you to get quiet, get into the Word, meditate in the Word so He can speak a word in your spirit that faith can come and faith can set you free. And we'll see that next week. People that got a hold of faith got victory. They got triumphant ways in their life. They made it to the other side. They didn't sink. And He arose and He rebuked the wind. Now watch this. And said unto him, here comes God, a man of many words. Peace, be still. Wow. Wow, Jesus, is that all you got to say? Sometimes I study the Word of God all day, and some of my family members get mad when someone comes over, and I don't feel like talking to them. I've been in the Spirit. No offense, you can come over. I'll try to talk. I'll warm up after a while. Right, Chris? I'll get there. I'll make it out there eventually. But Jesus was a man of prayer. He's a man of the Spirit, a man of very few words. Not that I'm in His boat. Are you listening to me? But Jesus just got up and said, peace, be still. That's it. When He's speaking to you, what are you listening for? When faith comes along by hearing and hearing the Word of Christ, what are you listening for? An introduction, a body, a conclusion? Or the voice of the Lord that's been teaching the illumination of the revelation? In other words, how He teaches the Word of God, that same Spirit will lead and guide you into truth. Will guide you in the day of life. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have yet no faith? He asked them this question. You've now been with me. After I've been teaching the Word, how is it that you don't yet have faith? But I want you to notice, He never gave up on the disciples. Why is it that you don't yet have faith? Why are you so fearful, intimidated? Why are you cowing under the things of circumstances? Let's look at Mark 4 in closing. Well, how do we get our faith going? He just answered it. He goes on and he said, this is said, so is the kingdom of God. This is Mark 4, verse 26 through 29. So is the kingdom of God as of a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep night and day. And rise up night and day and the seed should spring and grows. He doesn't even know how it's working or how he understands how it works. For the earth bring forth fruit of itself, first the blade, and then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. If you fall because of what you see, if you fall because of what you're reasoning, you fall because of your circumstances, what do you do? What do you do, Pastor? You get back into the Word of God, find the Scriptures that He spoke to your spirit, and keep casting that seed into your spirit. Keep casting that seed into your spirit. Keep sowing that seed into your spirit. And eventually, you don't even have to understand how, faith will begin to rise up in your spirit. It will fill your mouth, and eventually it will harvest in your life, and you will have the fruit of what Christ spoke into your spirit. Are you following me? It works the same for each of us. Most of us won't get a vision. Most of us won't have an angelical appearance. But just by the simple, small voice of the Word of God spoken to us through Christ, He'll lead us through some of the tremendous and most powerful circumstances that we'll ever face in life. And it'll be very few words. When I had 8 hours to live after the surgery, I was sitting in bed, and this is what He spoke to me. And I didn't at that point even know it was Scripture. He said, you shall live and not die. That's it. I said, what does that mean? Thank God, He said, I'm not going to die. Thank God, He said, I'm going to live. I hold on to that. But I found out it's a verse over in Psalms 118. And guess what it says? You will declare the works of the Lord. I'm declaring you how God works in your life. I'm not letting it go. He said, if I want to live, I have to preach to you how God works. And I'm telling you, God works by faith. We're going to see that next week. God works by faith. Don't get discouraged because circumstances are taking you down. So what? We all fallen. We've all wavered. We've all had to come and ask God to forgive us. But we got to shake our boots off, get in there and ask Him to forgive us, pick yourself back up, and begin to sow that seed back into your spirit. Get back into that Scripture. Get back into that Word. Begin to soak it in. Begin to soak it in. Begin to sow it in. You don't even have to understand how, but eventually faith will come as a fruit in your life. It'll begin to work. Amen. Did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. Let's bow. Father, this morning, we just thank you. Lord, I know that I just look at the negative side of faith. We need to now look at the positive side. We'll pick that up next week. Father, you're a God of faith. said, without faith it is impossible to please you. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Said, call those things that be not as if they are. God, you will not change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus, you walked in faith. Father, forgive us for walking by our senses. Forgive us for walking by our reasoning. Forgive us by walking by religion and tradition. And Father, please forgive us for getting under negative teaching that stole the Word of God right out of our hearts. Father God, forgive us and put us back under those teachers and preachers that will give us the positive word of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and teach us how to walk again in the Spirit through Christ that dwells and lives in me. No longer shall I live by my flesh, by Christ that dwells in me. The hope of glory, the mystery of God. Thank you, Father, for opening the doors of this opportunity for this faith to work.